This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The hectic period is over. 5 games in 14 days and 4 wins in a row with Ipswich Town. 6 points off the top of the Championship table. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. Dave, compare the last 30 minutes against Rotherham against the first 30 minutes against Birmingham. Go.
Yeah, night and day, I think you'd describe them as. Night and day. Yeah, we were, I thought, particularly impressive for the first 30 minutes, as I think we were for pretty much all of the first half yesterday. Yeah, very, very different from the other night.
Just needed to get that one ticked off, as I mentioned, Craig, with the big run of fixtures, but a real bonus, and we'll get into it in that, the way this game started.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Dave said, we needed to sort of lay Tuesday's ghost to rest, really. And yeah, it was chalk and cheese. I was laying in an Istanbul hotel room watching Tuesday night's game, and time differences meant it didn't kick off till 10:45. So once you guys had also had 1/4 hour of injury time in either half, it was getting pretty late my end. But yeah, no, it was a fantastic performance on the back of that.
Welcome along, everybody, to the Blue Monday podcast. If you're watching here live on YouTube, get involved in the debate. We'll try and put as many up on the screen as we can. We are reading all of them if you see our eyes darting around as we go. If you're listening after the fact on old-fashioned audio podcast, we appreciate the hell out of you. Do think about coming and joining us each and every Sunday night at 8 p.m. and getting involved in the debate yourself, and save those questions for segment 4 tonight. We want to hear from you. Ipswich Town 3, Birmingham City 1 to talk about. And Dave, quickly, can you just talk about Tony Mowbray? Because we were really disappointed to hear the news, sad to hear the news that he's taking 6 to 8 weeks out. One of these rare people, Dave, who's just universally well thought of in football.
Totally.
And what was the kind of emotion towards him in the ground, please?
Yeah, really good. There was kind of a sort of little tribute to him. He came up on the screen, tribute after quite early in the game, Craig, wasn't it? 5 minutes, I think. Something really soon.
Number 5, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was number 5 for 5, yeah. And yeah, really well observed, really, you know, pretty much for obviously their fans, our fans, and everyone's out there thinking of it. Sounded pretty sudden, I think. Did I read that it was something that arose out of a medical or something like that? And I think, and again, I think I heard Mark Venus again touch on that he's had surgery. So, yeah, all the best to him. What an absolute legend. We know that.
100%. And I'm sure, Craig, his Birmingham team missed him very much on the touchline. A kind of very much a Kieran McKenna style, cool, calm presence.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Dave said, I think he got picked up in one of their regular LMA health checks, actually. It's where it all ran from. So it's good to see that sort of thing happens and these sort of things are getting picked up. And also Mark Venus got a good reception, didn't he, walking along and past you, Dave, on his way to the on his way to the dugout, understandably, as well.
There we go. And, we'll...
And you forget about, just quickly, following Mark Venus, hot behind Mark Venus, was Ashley Cole, who still looks like he's playing weight today. He still looks like he'd go out there and play now. I mean, good grief.
Yeah, you're going to talk to me about a lone appearance for Crystal Palace in the run-in to the promotion season. We've talked about way too many times. One of those, who's that guy moments. He's got a chance, that fella. Craig, team news. Sladky in goal after interesting night against Rotherham that the lads talked about in the post-game show. Leif Davis, Cameron Burgess, Luke Wolfenden, no, Harry Clark, Axel Tuanzebe in there, Luongo, Morsi, and this is classic, Broadhead, Chaplin, Burns, I love it, Kiefer Moore up top. Your thoughts on the selection, really, just the right-back area to talk about, Craig?
Yeah, I think McKenna said, didn't he, in his lead-up to the weekend that Clark had a dead leg. I think as soon as you hear that someone's got a dead leg, they don't seem to be easily recoverable from, do they, like a proper dead leg. Potentially he got that from leaping over the advertising hoardings in the second half, I think it was, against Rotherham. Obviously, Luongo came in for Travis. I think Luongo came on when we needed him against Rotherham as well. So it's pretty much our home team, isn't it, that we do often put out. Certainly those, the three behind the striker, is our sort of go-to tried and trusted formula in home games.
Could have said tried and trusted trio then, Craig, but you need to put your teeth back in then. Dave, this is just peculiar, isn't it? And obviously Birmingham, big red flag. We don't like three managers in one season. So this is a real concoction, this, of players from before Knighthead Capital took over, players that came in the summer under Knighthead Capital and worked under John Eustace, players that were slagged off by Wayne Rooney quite a little bit. And I know Pritchard isn't necessarily there, but Dizel is. Some players that came in under Tony Mowbray. Here's your Birmingham side, Dave. John Ruddy, you can still find him. Dramare making his second appearance at Portman Road. Ethan Laird, Sanderson and Mark Roberts, him of the massive throw-in. Andre Dizel, where have we heard that name before? We have Pike in central midfield. Miyoshi down the right. Roberts and James. And a much-mentioned name in the Ipswich Town bubble up top, Dave. Jay Stansfield. Good collection of players, that, isn't it?
Do you know what? A good collection of players. Do you know what surprised me a kind of a little bit about that? You'd have think, obviously, they've done their homework on us and seen the second half of the other night. A little bit surprised to see Jukovic on the bench there. I fully expected him to play. And
Dave,
going further in the game,
he can't be 90 anymore. No.
Good point. But even that, they just didn't even bring him on till like the 90th minute. That kind of surprised me and pleased me somewhat. But yeah, neat and tidy side at time. You know, all know what Dizel's about. To be fair to Dizel yesterday, don't think he touched the ball for the first 20 minutes or so, probably. We were that pretty much dominant. But, some nice players. You know, the wing, I mean, Oshie, really, really nice player. But the other thing about yesterday as well, you mentioned, I don't think we saw one Roberts long throw at all, did we? Did we, no. Craig? I can't no. recall any.
His manager's Tony Mowbray. That's not going in his box on their long throw.
Well, there you go, you know. So
and he'd only got Stansfield to aim for.
And to be there you go. Yeah. Another thing, yeah, exactly.
It's quite interesting, actually. Sorry, Ben. I was on a pre-match show with one of the Birmingham pods on Thursday, Friday, and they were waxing lyrical about Ethan Laird at left-back, saying that he's been one of their players of the season so far. They've done what to get him from Man U, etc. But, he had a bit of a torrid old afternoon, regardless who he's up against yesterday. We'll come to that.
Yeah. Well, and that tends to be the case for left-backs at Portman Road this season, doesn't it? You think he'd be down the other side. Craig, we joked about it with Dave at the top of the show, but really horrendous end to the Rotherham game. And I think most self-aware Ipswich Town fans came out of that game with full humility thinking, got away with one there. They deserved at least a point. But were you surprised to see this amazing start, or is it what you expected? And take me through the brilliant opening to this game.
Yeah, well, I think, as we've all seen, Tuesday was the anomaly in our performances. I don't think there was any real reason to expect it to reoccur, because one of the guys who rang into BBC Suffolk on the way home said that he could count on the fingers of one hand how many poor performances we've had under Kieran McKenna this season so far, and Rotherham was probably one of them. I think he referenced Preston and maybe one of the halves against Preston and Leeds, and that's pretty much it. So I don't think many people were expecting a recurrence. But yeah, as Dave said, we started off well. We started off pressing them right, really high up the pitch. Everyone's partnerships were clicking. Burns and Chaplin were combining as they do. Chaplin was dropping into that little space in front of the right back and pinging those balls inside Laird. And Burns was having a lovely old time down his down the right hand side. He was getting a lot of crosses in. Moore was winning his headers. His shooting and passing was a little bit off, but he was still, you know, putting himself about, taking on both his defenders, winning his headers. And as I say, as Dave said, Birmingham just could not get a grip of the game. Dizelle didn't have a touch. Their midfield, we were sort of Luongo and Moore's partnership was working well in the centre midfield. We were, let's say, pushing them further and further into their half. They couldn't get out. They were trying to play out. We were nicking the ball off them 40, 30 yards out and creating chances. Broadhead was buzzing around. Chaplin, I said, was buzzing around. And Burns had his fullback on toast for the first, 18, 20 minutes it was until the ball had to go off.
Dave, anything to add on that? And talk to us about Burns' injury and then the first goal, which the first time I saw it, and I wasn't at the game, first time I saw it, I thought was miles offside. But you
really
give me a better view on that from where you two sit.
Really nothing more really to add to that, really. I think Chaplin was at his, what's the word, impish best, I'd say, yesterday. Really back to his best. You know, I think, not that he's been, you know, scored a great goal at Swansea last week, didn't he? But I think he's been slightly not on his game in recent weeks. And I think the more the partnership and the more they're playing off Kiefer Moore now, you can see the familiarity and the general round improvement of those three. And Burns has quite rightly said, just again, had led on toast for the first 20 minutes. I mean, it must be a bit harsh, you know, for the fullback to see Burns. Oh, great, I've seen him off. Oh, it's Amari Hutchison. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's incredible. And the first goal is an interesting one, and it's a really interesting one. And Craig will perhaps go on to talk about their goal, but with Broadhead's involvement, because Broadhead initially receives it, I think it's a chip ball from Wolfenden, chips it into him. Beautifully, as Broadhead does, takes the ball down and just opens up in his stride and sort of glides away with it, passes it, you know, slips it to Hutchison again. Hutchison is just, he just overall plays just improved immeasurably as the season goes on. I mean, what a player. Basically gets the ball under, you know, has a little bit of fun with Laird, stands him up probably once, probably twice, but then has the wherewithal to, you know, knock it back inside, central position, about 25 yards out. It's a shot from Morsey, isn't it? It's not a great shot. I think he half scuffs it.
It's also a second assist in two games, I believe.
Yeah, no, it is a great chip for the goal the other night.
What a pass.
Yeah. And you've got to say, what improvisation from Chaplin. He almost does like a mid-air Rabona, isn't it? Like a mid-air pirouette. And yeah, it was great improvisation for the finish. From where I was, and I'm not directly in line, looked offside. Did look offside from where Craig might have had a better view of that. Higher up, but from where I was, did look tight.
Is it in real time, without replaying?
Everyone, the linesman there, to a man, everyone was where I was. Nope, no flag, brilliant. Yeah, it did look very tight, but yeah, just brilliant from Chaplin. Oh, really clever.
Okay,
it's quite interesting, isn't it, that flick that he did? It's like that Gianfranco Zola flick, wasn't it, from
yes,
the corner?
Norwich.
Yeah, it's that.
Legs.
But there's no name for that flick, is there? There's no name for that flick behind your leg, if you know what I mean. Anyway,
someone will tell us in the chat.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it early on when I was
athletic.
Watching it back.
Should we call it the diamond with a Y?
Yeah, why not? Yeah,
why not? Carry on, Craig.
We'll get it into we'll get it on football cliches or something this week. and yeah, it in real time. It looked Chaplin, a yard offside. And I do look straight across to the Birmingham fans, albeit higher up. There's been a lot of chat about it in the Telegram group today, because by virtue of our job as football fans is to watch the ball back and forth. You know, the linesman's job is to look along his line and sort of try and keep one eye going that way along the line and the other eye going that way towards when the ball's being played. And it's very, very, very close. You look at it at some angles, and when you freeze frame it, it looks off. It doesn't look off. It looks level. It's a marginal decision. And yeah, let's say we got the advantages given to the attacker, that law which doesn't exist anywhere. But yeah, fair play to the linesman. It looks like he was pretty much spot on. But it's just the as Dave says, it's the improvisation from Chaplin to react so quickly and have the wherewithal to put that in. I don't think it's got as much praise as it deserves, really, that finish, having watched it back today.
Yeah, as I always say, just a little bit trolly at these times, if only, Craig, we had a video replay system that we could use to check matters like this. But let's move on, and we'll stay with you, Craig. Damn gosh darn, a brilliant first half performance, but pretty decent counter-attack goal by Birmingham right at the end of the half. Kieran McKenna, who I always listen to very carefully, said, well, if you are going to get done by a sucker punch, that's probably the time for it to happen, because you can react to it over the halftime and regroup. But how frustrating, and talk to me about the goal.
Yeah, well, we've been told for years and years that scoring just before half time is the best time to score. Now we're being told it's the best time to concede, best time to concede as well.
And if you're 4-0 up, that's the most dangerous scoreline, Craig.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 4-1 going into half time could go either way. As Dave sort of said about our goal, it landed with almost landed with Broadhead in the centre circle.
Exactly.
Yeah. Moore won the flick on, as he had been for most of the half. Chaplin then cushioned his header into Broadhead's pass, and sort of Broadhead unfortunately just didn't quite get it under control on the run in the centre circle. And yeah, as we say, they just broke. Unfortunately for us, our two farthest forward players were Hutchinson on the right hand side and Davis on the left. They were literally level with each other a further 20 yards up the pitch, as we tend to do. And as a result, there's a whacking great hole behind it. And because of the pace that they broke, Luongo didn't have time to fully get back. Unfortunately, he was chasing Miyoshi. The ball got put out to Miyoshi, who then belted towards the byline. And Luongo did eventually catch him up. But, you know, fair play. They got the ball to byline. They pulled it back, and Jordan James is there to sweep it in. I know we've spoken about recently about textbook Kieran McKenna Ipswich goals. This was pretty much a textbook Kieran McKenna Ipswich goal, wasn't it? It was a quick break, get the ball out to the wing, pull it back, and someone's arriving on it 6 to 8 yards out to sweep it home. So yeah, it was a good goal. Well, a well manufactured goal.
What was David Diamond saying behind the Pioneer? Was he saying a bit of both? Was he saying crap?
No, it wasn't. It was a good goal. It's just it was really odd, because it was really a carbon, as Craig said, it was a carbon copy move, really, of where Broadhead receives the ball for the first goal, and when he tries to get it under control to the second, is just identical position. It's odd. And then if you pan out both goals, by the time Broadhead then, for the first goal, carries the ball and slips it to Hutchinson, Davis is on the other side, on the edge of their box, on the apex of the 18 yard box. So, you know, you pan to the equaliser. Yeah, and as Craig said, he's 20 yards, hugging the touchline where he usually is, 20 yards further on. And just, yeah, carbon copy. Good for Miyoshi. And to be fair to Luongo, he nearly makes it, and he nearly makes it back. And Miyoshi pulls it back. It goes through his legs, I think. And it's a really good finish. I was quite impressed that James is half decent. He's young. Only a kid.
Oh, he's excellent. 19. Yeah, yeah.
19, yeah. Really composed finish. Chaplin, I think, tries to get in a challenge. But yeah, he just hits it first time. And yeah, you sort of think, oh, I didn't see that coming. Because as myself and Craig, I think both said, the first half was excellent, excellent.
Well, do you want to hear some funny stats? 58-42 on the possession, 1.36 to 0.22 on the XG. This is the first half stats. 14 first half shots, so just a brilliant performance. 5 to Birmingham, to be fair. 4-2 on target. Look at that. 6 big chances. I don't know what FootMob uses there, what the XG number is there. But yeah, just excellent, Dave.
Even after they scored, 46 minutes, the very next move, we actually go really direct, and Moore heads it down for a Broadhead. And it's almost a carbon copy to Norwich, where he drops his shoulder, takes a pass, his man. I think from where I am, it's in. But he hits it left foot, this time in the near post, and it's it's in the side net, and yeah, we could have these, yeah, good chance, probably, yeah, really good chance. But yeah, you're a bit on your heels a bit to go in 1-1. You're a little bit deflated after such a good performance, really.
So what I'm going to do, Craig, is I'm going to take you back to Vicarage Road, where I was sat near David Diamond. And during the second half of that game at 1-1, I'm sat there and I'm thinking, what is going on here? Because I'm sat in an Ipswich game at 1-1 and my brain is not going, oh, how are we going to mess this up then? How is this ending 2-1? I'm like, you know what? We're probably going to score in this game, aren't we? Yeah. Did you have that feeling, Craig, as we ticked up towards the 81-minute mark? And I'll just help you with a couple of subs. Oh, actually, only Jeremy Sarmiento coming in just after the hour mark.
Yeah, and you do feel confident that this team will, if not score, they'll certainly just keep plugging away and plugging away. And the first half was dominant, as Dave said. We were pretty much all over. The second half was probably a little bit more equal and a bit more level. They had probably not any clear-cut chances. We may still have had the more clear-cut chances. Ruddy made some decent saves, albeit pretty standard saves, but he was possibly the more busy of the two goalkeepers. But as you rightly say, Ben, you just don't ever really feel that this team's in going to go away from the plan and the structure that's brought them success. They just keep going. And even the crowd have got confidence in it on the whole. You know, the crowd stayed behind the team yesterday. You know, you can see what they're trying to do. You can see they're still plugging away. And as Dave sort of alluded to there earlier, when Hutchinson came off for Burns, he is just becoming such an important player that they're just looking. I appreciate he was playing well, and Laird probably didn't have the best of games, but the game plan yesterday was get it out to Hutchinson as soon as you can, wasn't it? It was get the ball, look right, ping it out to the right wing, and let Hutchinson just run at their defenders, get into the box, get the crosses in, get his shots off, etc. Once he starts picking out someone a bit more regularly with the crossing, then you know Chelsea can have a very decent player on their hands. You know, even the work he does off the ball, shortly after we scored, I'll talk about it in a sec, he's chasing back and chucking, you know, bundling someone out of play, winning the ball off of them, getting more of a cheer from the crowd for that than he was for setting up the goal sort of thing. In terms of the goal...
Craig, can I just stop you? We're just going to go to a clip before we talk about this 81st-minute goal. Roll VT.
And also, they are the worst side in the league for second-half performances away from goals. They've conceded away from home. They've conceded 22 goals and only scored 7 in the second half of games. Ooh. The sweet spots appear to be in the minutes 51 to 60 and 81 to 90, where they've let in 14 goals. So...
You can tune into the preview show each and every Thursday, where we will not only tell you what's happening in terms of team selections and whatnot, we'll tell you when the goals are. Carry on, Craig.
So you're saying in a 20-minute period in the second half, there's going to be a goal?
Stop it!
Well done, Seb. That's brilliant. It's almost perfectly timed, wasn't it? But, you know, as I said, we'd sort of been playing around their box a fair bit and just keep plugging away and plugging away. And we get a little triangle on the edge of their box. Hutchinson stands up, Laird, Twenzaby, as he had been doing all game, and I'm sure we'll talk about him at the end, what sort of performance he'd put in, comes in from the overlap. Hutchinson's more likely to use his overlapping runner than Burns tends to when Burns plays. Poor old Harry Clark must run kilometres and kilometres every match down dead ends not to be used, but luckily for Twenzaby, Dembele has what I'm going to term a half-arsed attempt to track back and follow his man. He just ambles along behind him. Twenzaby gets into the box, gets to the edge of the six-yard box, pulls it back to Sarmiento, passes it into the net. Not too dissimilar from Birmingham's goal, but as I say, it's just goes to, yes, again, it's the patterns of play that we're used to, isn't it? It's an overlapping fullback. It's a cutback from the byline. It's someone being on the spot 6 to 8 yards out to pass home.
Was it coming, Dave?
Yeah, I think so. We were sort of building up a sort of head of steam by then. not long before that, Morsey had a really good half volley. You'd probably expect that the unit of the year is Ruddy to save it, who I thought was pretty good yesterday. Ruddy commanded, I mean, said that we fed him sort of some crosses, but commanded his area really well. And I thought he played really well. And what I liked about that, obviously, he was getting some banter, but was giving it back and it was all good natured, which I like. That was good. But yeah, I think it was coming. And it's just, again, you know, I think we were all saying maybe a few months ago, up to Christmas probably, that Hutchison's pretty much the full package. But what he is missing is perhaps his final decision making in that final ball. Well, man, he's added that to his game for sure. And it was great. Obviously, he got a shout from Twanzabi. Beautiful little weighted ball. And yeah, Twanzabi again could have had a rush of blood there, could have sort of flashed at it across the box or something like that, but got his head up and just rolled it in perfectly. And Sarmiento's got a nice knack for being on the spot as well, hasn't he? So yeah, it's just a nice goal. Yeah, lovely finish.
Stay with you then, Dave, because a nice trick to have in your locker is scoring in stoppage time three times in recent succession. Talk to me about made things safe.
This is just great, isn't it? It's just a long throw from Twanzabi. And you can see as soon as Twanzabi throw it, Hutchison sort of running in from the right. He's on his bike. And yeah, I think is it Roberts? I think he gets Kiefer Moore gets a jump on Roberts, flicks it on.
That was good in the air, Dave.
Yeah, mate. Moore was, I thought, good yesterday. So his finishing maybe left a little bit to be desired, certainly first half, but I think his all-round game was very good. And he gets a flick on, and Hutchison is on his bike. Not easy because the ball bounces in front of him, but he's a great touch to get the ball out of his feet. And again, he just squares up Ruddy from just inside the box and just can't be placed.
They don't like facing, Dave. Sorry to interrupt. They don't like facing the left footer from that angle, the keeper.
No, he just opens. And he's so good, isn't he? Because he can left foot, right foot. He just opens himself up and passes it in. Absolutely superb finish. And yeah, certainly 3-1. First half alone was certainly a fair reflection of the game. Really didn't see much of them. Stansfield had that one snapshot, didn't he, Craig? Second half, it was a bit of a weird save from Gladue. He sort of dived
right, pushed it left,
right, saved it, and pushed it out left. But I think it was moving. But other than that, really didn't see much of him. But yeah, thoroughly deserved 3 points. And I think the two goal cushion was about right on the day, I'd have thought. And what I loved about that was also, Venus was very sort of magnanimous in defeat and said it as it was. And I think Venus even called Chaplin's goal as being onside, actually. So, yeah, he was suitably honest and summed it up by saying, look, you know, Ipswich are the yardstick. This is where we're striving to be. So, yeah, all good. Great 3 points.
Do you want to talk about Moore or Gladue, Craig? I have a question for both.
Kiefer Moore, please. I'll have Kiefer Moore for five, please.
Are we better with Kiefer Moore up front than with George Hurst?
Oh, my. Can I have Gladue, please?
Oh, that's...
Bearing in mind what George Hurst did at Barnsley, we're all going to love him forever.
crikey. Yeah, he probably hasn't... Well, I was just about to say he hasn't got the energy of George Hurst, but crikey, he kept going for all 90 plus minutes yesterday. He was still going at full time, and he was due to be coming off before the second goal, before Sarmiento's goal, because Al Hamidi and Travis were on the sidelines, literally ready to be subbed on. But no, he's good, and he was holding, as Dave said, about winning the header, the flick on for Hutchison. And as I said earlier, he's just winning headers all game. He's occupying two defenders like George Hurst did, but he's just got that little bit more experience. He probably hasn't got the speed of George Hurst, but he's just got the nous and the experience to hold off players and know where to be. And he won a lot of fouls yesterday. He was just getting nudged off the ball, like those thigh-to-thigh challenges in around the halfway line to win possession. He's hold up play, and his layoff play was very good yesterday. Whereas, as Dave said, those five big chances we had in the first half, three or four of them probably had landed at Kiefer Moore's feet, unfortunately, rather than his head. And his finishing was just a little bit off yesterday. But yeah, I think to get him in January, I think it's just proving a bit of a masterstroke, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dave looks like he wants to add to that one, even though he's...
No, I'm just looking at some of the comments there, and I think they're fair comments. You know, in our system, perhaps he doesn't perhaps lead the press as and perhaps as athletic as Hurst is in our overall system. But some of his play, you know, you can see, look, he played a handful of games for us how many years ago, you know, very raw from Forest Green and stuff. But some of his play yesterday, Christ, he was chesting the ball down, getting the ball out of his feet and spraying like 30-yard balls, weren't he? 30-yard balls, the hutches, you think.
Can I put to you, though, Dave, we've got a lot of players that can do the things people are talking about. We haven't got many players that can do the things that Kiefer Moore can do, have we?
And no, sometimes
you need that diversity, don't you?
The word you use for physicality, and yeah, he gives you that physicality. He was very, very good yesterday.
Pretty good on the near post from defensive corners as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he is. No, and as Craig said, I think, yeah, very much a master stroke in getting him in January. And, you know, he could be the one that makes the difference.
And it's, so, as you say, you're right to say that. Sorry, Ben, you're right to say that about the defensive side of things as well. And that's probably, you know, another good reason why, as soon as that second goal went in, Kiefer Moore's now staying on the pitch, because we probably reasonably expected there to be a bit of a bombardment, which didn't actually transpire and happen. But no. You've got a guy who's 6'5", 6'6" on the pitch who's going to win pretty much every header, as you say, Ben, at the near post.
And by the way, before anyone starts crying over that, that question, which was deliberately cantankerous, we bloody love George Hurst. So this is not this is not any kind of binary tear fest. Dave, on Tuesday night, there was a lovely argument behind me of we had someone three or four rows back giving it the whole, get it forward, get rid of it.
Get it up.
Yeah. The bloke behind me told the guy to shut the F up, stop complaining. Have you seen this team play this season?
Yes.
Trust the process. To which I turned around and said, you have to understand the process in order to be able to trust it, and quickly turned back around having thrown my grenade
Did the geezer then say, get your hair cut?
No, he did not. And if he had off, there would have been trouble, I tell you. But Dave, Kladke got some criticism in the week, mainly for coming and missing that cross, really, rather than... But the crowd were a bit anxious, weren't they? And I don't blame them sometimes. How were the crowd, and how did Kladke and maybe Wolfenden, who got a bit of grief in the midweek, how were they viewed by the crowd, and was there any anxiety?
No, I don't think so, because we started so well. We were so good that first half. Arguably the best first half, one of the best first halves of the season. Not quite hit the heights of, what was it, the Hull first half, which was just absolutely ridiculous. But I think it's one of the best first halves we've played all season. However, Birmingham weren't that physical, and not saying they made it easy. You know, you can beat what's in front of you, but yeah, we found it certainly easy to play through them. Certainly easy to play through them when we did Rotherham the other night. And no, I don't think so. He really didn't have a lot to do, really, Craig, did he? Certainly, Kladke first half, you know, he couldn't stop the goal. Did he have another shot to save? I can't really remember. There was once where there was the high ball in the box and he goes for it with the Superman, you know, two double-fisted thing. I thought, here we go. And he ended up clearing it by about 40 yards, didn't he? Cleared it almost up to the halfway line. So you think, okay, that's what he's about. But... No, and Wolfenden as well. Again, there was, I think it was a passage of play in the first half where very similar to the Fellows goal for West Brom the other week, where the ball was played down that channel. He was last man. He was up against a left-sided player. I can't remember who it was now. And yeah, did the right thing, got across him, just headed it out for a throw. So I say he learned from that, you know, clearly. You know, there was something there, but no, there wasn't. The crowd were pretty much on side right from the start, and I didn't certainly feel it. Even at 1-1, I didn't really feel that anxiety starting to come through. Did you, Craig, at all yesterday? I didn't.
No, not really. And I think sort of just to combine the two questions, I did feel that we went just a little bit longer in the first half. You know, and Moore gives us the ability to do that. We weren't as, you know, normally it's every single goal kick is Burgess to Kladke and play out from there, whereas it was probably 50-50 in the first half in terms of how often we were doing that. And as Dave rightly says, there was about Wolfenden, there was a time in the second half as well where he basically cleared it into the top tier of the Portman stand. You know, he's under a bit of pressure, just clear it and get rid of it. And then finally, Tuesday night, you know, Kladke was coming under a bit of grief for coming and missing a long ball into his box. Well, there was a £12 million goalkeeper did that yesterday for Southampton, from what I saw on the on the highlights yesterday. So it does tend to happen occasionally.
It happens to the best of us, Craig. Hey, let me just give you these numbers just to, I mean, it's telling us exactly what your eyes have told us. 60-40 on the possession, 2.46 on the XG to 0.48, 26 shots to 11, 9-4 on target, 8 big chances to 1. Just an excellent performance. Last kind of words, don't necessarily talk about the performance, Dave, but just talk about where we are now. I know we'll go into 12 games to go, and parking up that, you know, back-to-back three-game weeks, chance to breathe now, right?
Yeah, a chance to breathe. I mean, what a run it's been. You know, starting with the West Brom game, a 2-2 draw the other week. So that's 5 games, scored 15 goals. Backed comfortably. We were just, I think after that West Brom game, we were teetering on that. I don't think we ever quite went below the 2 points a game, but we're pretty much on the, we're on the precipice, weren't we? On the precipice.
Now we're well over. Ludicrous conversation. Imagine I told you this conversation in June.
So now we're back over 2 points, pretty much back over 2 points a game. What are we, 2.1 or 2 or something like that? Every stat you look at is with 2.2 goals. 2 goals a game. We're on average in 2 goals a game now. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's a brilliant, brilliant string of results. And I know we have strung four on the spin before this season. I think most notably after the West Brom away game, I think we did. Ironically, it was Millwall in that, wasn't it? Yeah, it's just a superb run of form at the right time, given that we'll get to in a minute, one of our nearest challenges, or maybe two, are starting to falter slightly.
Interesting. Final thoughts, Craig?
No, exactly what Dave said is that it's just that reaction, isn't it? Where you just think, oh, things are starting to turn and Southampton are on a roll and we've just drawn, lost to Preston, drawn to West Brom, and then a flick of a switch and four on the bounce and everything looks a lot better, doesn't it? And as I was saying earlier about the pre-match pod, I was talking to the Birmingham guy, I said to him, Southampton have been on this 23 match unbeaten run, and we'd had this supposed slump over Christmas and New Year, and we were still found ourselves 2 points ahead of them going into the weekend. So we hadn't been doing too badly after all of that.
And we'll look at it when we look at the table. Both Leicester and Leeds have done 9 wins in a row this season as well. And I don't know. So we've gone over this to death, but to be within 20 points of those teams, let alone above one, level with one, and 6 behind the other. Absolutely mental as we go to the Innovation Labs promo.
Innovation Labs, providing co-working and innovation hubs across East Anglia. We're the perfect place for remote workers, freelancers, startups, or innovators to do business. Our unique member network creates extensive business development and collaboration opportunities. Hot desks are available from £20 a day or £99 per month, with business coaching also available from £50. Innovation Labs, turning your ideas into multi-million pound businesses. Located in Stowmarket, Ipswich, Sudbury, with new sites in Thetford, Norwich and Kuala Lumpur, opening soon.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So, in the championship in round 34, pick out anything you want to talk about. It was Coventry nil, Preston 3. I'm beginning to have to change my mind on Preston, who are not going away, are they? And Reece and Keane and Frokje Jensen, front three, they're looking all right at the moment, Preston. Leeds 3, Leicester 1, 9 in a row. The gap down to 6 points. Leicester back to back defeats. Hull 1, West Brom 1, and Blackburn 1, Norwich 1 is all very helpful to Preston, actually. Lot of drop points. Nobody, lads, between 4th and 13th, other than Preston, won this weekend. And we'll find out when we do the bottom of the table why and where all the bloody wins went this week. Incredible week. Cardiff 2, Stoke 1. What's Stoke doing? Ipswich 3, Birmingham 1. Middlesbrough 0, Plymouth 2. I say fair play, Plymouth. They've got 40 points now. And given what went on there in December, they look pretty well safe. And how much is Ryan Hardy worth? QPR 2, Rotherham 1. QPR out of the bottom 3. 4 of the bottom 6 won this week. That never, ever happens. Another one with Sheffield Wednesday 2, Bristol City 1. EK Ugbo has 5 goals in 4 games for Wednesday. Southampton 1, Millwall 2. I'll just leave that there. Sunderland 1, Swansea 2, a Brazilian called Ronald with 2 goals. Watford 1, Huddersfield 2. I'll repeat, 4 of the bottom 6 won in the mental championship. I've got to stop saying mental. The crazy champion. Is that even... No, better, is it, Craig? Anything you want to pick out there, my friend?
Well, let's go for the Leicester lead, shall we? Having watched that on Friday night, that was a...
The first 25 minutes, that was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, wasn't it?
What a game.
It was a fantastic game, wasn't it? And I was so impressed with Leicester, you know, for the 70, 75 minutes. They just... ran all over Leeds, didn't they? Their midfield was getting swamped. The crowd was quiet. Leicester couldn't score for toffee. And you just knew. And it was going on. The chat was going on in the Telegram. Everyone to a man and a woman
here
was saying,
here comes the Leeds goal.
Exactly the same thing. To be fair, no one predicted 3 Leeds goals, but everyone was predicting at least one. And the thing is, Leicester didn't play badly. They played really, really well. And still lost. So it's not as if you can sort of say, oh, Leicester on a bit of a slump here. They're going to struggle in the next match. If they played like that in the next game, they'll probably win 2 or 3 nil. Just one of those just crazy, crazy results, which unfortunately, I don't know where to sit now anymore. Before going into the game, I was like, well, we need Leicester to win this. Let's just get rid of them and we'll be above Leeds come Saturday at 5 o'clock. And now they haven't. I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know what to think.
Mate, we've got 2 points per game and it's bloody nearly March. So come and sit in my chair. Is that what I said?
And it's still not enough.
I mean, Leicester for that, up to about 80 minutes whenever Leeds scored, were scarily good, weren't they? My God, I just couldn't lay a glove on them. Could they do to me? I mean, like him or not, and perhaps he is a bit of a prima donna, he goes down fairly easy. Dewsbury Hall, that level's just ridiculous, isn't he? Him and Mavadini, they just had that move inside Gray every single time. He was absolutely on toast. Didn't know whether to twist or stick, but... yeah, I mean, he didn't score. You see it coming. And Vestergaard, what was he doing for the first goal? But Leicester, you know, I think perhaps it's a blip. You can see Leicester play like that. They'll blow everyone else, most of the other teams away. So you'd think, unfortunately, they've got enough. But it is a blip. I mean, who would have thought, you know, a fortnight ago we'd be sitting here just 6 points. You'd think they'd have thought they'd been over the hill and gone the other side by now. Incredible. I mean, Southampton, Millwall, say new manager bounce. What a bonkers result that is, for Christ's sake. I mean, what possession at one time? I think I looked in the first half at half time. I think, did I read this right? That Southampton are 88%. It was something off the charts. Stupid. But as someone said there, the best league in the world, I mean, it is the most as you said, craziest league in the world, isn't it? It's just all over the place. How could you predict some of those scores? And the other one, obviously, Ben, you must be getting ready to fire up, is Watford. You must be on the brink every just waiting for Sky Sports to get that news out there, surely.
I had a busy day today, so I was kind of quite pleased that it wasn't happening. But yeah, just crazy, crazy, crazy. Guys, we're going to go to questions in just a jiffy. Get your questions in right now. Apologies. The chat is moving fantastically because we've got wonderful numbers of people watching us. So do feel free to copy and paste your questions and re-put them. Is that word, re-put them? It is now because I said it twice, Dave, in the chat. Stick a cue before afterwards. Please don't give me grief if I don't read your question. There's bloody millions of them. And,
do you get grief, Ben? No, you don't, do you?
Grief on the internet, really.
Whoa!
Zero me. And in the football stadium as well, apparently, according to you. Let me just quickly do some admin, Dave. NordVPN promo still active. Link down in the description if you need a VPN for any particular reasons that may or may not be related to Ipswich Town. Say no more. 30-day money-back guarantee. ITFC women 4-1 winners over Rugby Borough today. Tickets for their game at Portman Road, aren't they? Tickets for the game at Portman Road on Saturday, March 23rd, which would be the final international break, go on sale this week. We're firing up Joe Fares, guys. We're going to do some predictions before the end of the season. And if you remember at this point last year, Joe Fares predicted we win every game 4-0. And he was actually the closest to any of us after our ridiculous, ridiculous 14 wins out of 15.
You don't need to fire him up. You just need to know your 3x table and multiply that by the number of games we've got left. That's going to be his prediction.
That's completely unnecessary, Craig, but very funny. We'll be doing some predictions on Tuesday night. And it's our old friends Plymouth once again next week. We'll talk about them in a sec. But Seb is going to be telling you in what minute Plymouth are going to concede a goal over at Home Park. Maybe it's good news that they're kind of safe now already. You can ease up against us. I will be back here. I don't know who with. Probably at least one of the people sat in front of me. Maybe both of them. We'll see what the Kieran McKenna selection rotation process comes up with next week in terms of our pod. But thank you, everybody. Please do hit the thumbs up button if you are watching live and get your questions.
You say Seb will be able to tell us what minute Plymouth will score. Oh, sorry, what we'll score against Plymouth. Will he be able to tell us which one of Cameron Burgess's legs Morgan Whittaker deflects the ball off of?
Morgan Whittaker, is going to turn into Diego Maradona for at least 30 seconds of that game.
Can't recall him having much of an aid of a deflection from the goal he scored at Portman Road this season.
When that goal went in at Portman Road, just before we go to the questions, everyone in the stand, it kind of levels it into the... Everyone's kind of like... Oh, yeah, he's got it out of the way early, at least this time. That's just a decent strike, I mean, isn't it? There we go. Right, what have we got in the chat? David, quick answers, please, guys. Loads of questions. You're going to ignore me. Let's go to Craig first, see if you can set the tone for David Diamond to give some quick answers here. Will Leeds and Southampton have been in the FA Cup help us?
Who have they got? Leeds have got...
Difficult games, like Liverpool Chelsea, and Chelsea, Liverpool. I think. Yeah,
Southampton have got Liverpool, haven't they? I think, Southampton more so probably than Leeds. I think Leeds are just on a roll, and if either team lose, then I don't think it'll affect them particularly too much.
No,
shame you can't have four replays like you used to.
One day after the other.
Four replays within 8 days. That's sort
on a cloud field. Yeah,
yeah.
Have you seen that brilliant clip with Brian Clough and Barry Davis where Forrest goes to like three replays and he says. Like the replays in two matches, and you're like, where's the game? Are you coming? It's just an absolute brilliant, brilliant clip. Dave, I'm going to move on from Paul to Anzebe or Clark versus Plymouth.
Oh, that's a good shout. I think probably Twanzebe's done enough. I know Clark, judging by, you know, seeing him sort of warming up, warm down, whatever at half time, looked pretty much fighting fit to me. But yeah, he was so good yesterday. I wouldn't be surprised away at Plymouth. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Twanzebe got the nod just because he was so good yesterday.
If you've got questions about the Plymouth selection, I'll leave them and we'll get the lads to talk a bit about what they think's going to happen there. Charlie, as Tyrone Mings was at the game yesterday, would he be a good England's Tyrone Mings, Craig? Would he be a good sign in? I think he might be.
Yeah, Yeah, he would be a good signing, yeah.
Yeah.
He'd sit on the left-hand side of our centre-backs nicely, wouldn't he? Chris, 9 wins and a draw for 100 points. 9 wins out of 12, sort of 28 points from 12 games.
Might not be enough.
We can do that, can't we?
Well, yes, but it might not be enough. Surely it'll be enough. But honestly, I don't know, this season's so there's that word again, so daft. They'll use that word this season that I honestly don't know what it will take. Well, I think if we're still averaging points total, what we're averaging now, I think I worked that out that we'd end up pretty much on 97. So but will it be enough? Probably not. I mean, it's just don't.
Absolutely ludicrous. Yeah, Craig, Neil, heaps of crap from Plymouth fans this week incoming. Surely, Craig, I would say that's water under the bridge now, but the ability of football fans to be juvenile and hold a grudge never surprises me.
Oh, I don't think it is water under the bridge. Been looking at some of the... I was on Twitter and it was a Leeds fan saying...
That's a bad start straight away. Don't go on Twitter.
It was a Leeds fan commenting on Ipswich and at least two of the replies were from Plymouth fans. I think it was a Leeds fan saying, Ipswich signed 50 players last year to get out of League One. First reply, Plymouth fan, yeah, and they only finished second.
Fair play to them. They're right.
Can I just say, I thought Plymouth were absolutely brilliant last year and congratulations on an excellent season this year. It's a very well-run club and I have a great deal of respect for the fans because it takes them 2 hours to even get to bloody Bristol and they have to travel much further than anyone else.
Let alone
so
Middlesbrough.
We're
going to
be lovely
yesterday.
About you, Plymouth. Kill them with kindness, Craig, is what I was taught. Neil, Dave, what hurts us more? Losing Morsi and Luongo for 2 or 3 games through suspension or Wes and Nathan through injury?
Morsi. Yeah, losing Morsi. We've already seen that. He is not quite sure he's had quite the same influence as he had perhaps up to his last suspension and stuff. But it's Morsi. I think we've perhaps got... Burns and, you know, you've got Burns and Broadhead, you know, you've got, you know, Sarmiento there and you've got, other options. Harness, you've got other options there. Morsi, big miss. Luongo, yes, I thought Luongo played well yesterday. Again, I'm a bit surprised, wasn't you, Craig? Weren't you, Craig, that both of them stayed on? Well, not Morsi, but particularly Luongo being on a yellow card. Morsi picked his up for handball, I think it was, wasn't it? He lost it a bit. Luongo for a foul. So I'm a bit surprised Luongo stayed on and Travis didn't come on. But the key man of those four is still Morsi.
Craig, best back four now if all fit. Are you going for the classic lineup? Are you including Bill Wyman in there? Or do you go early with Brian Jones? What are you thinking?
I don't know. No, I don't. I think Twan Zabi played fantastic yesterday, man of the match. And for once, I agreed with the match sponsor, the man of the match, whatever it happened, whoever picked it yesterday, who picked Twan Zabi. He was and for a right back to get the man of the match award in a 3-1 home win is pretty impressive. And he got. Someone posted it in the chat a little while ago about the most interceptions in a championship match this season so far was 7 from Twan Zabi yesterday. So, and let's not forget, he's a centre-back playing at right-back as well. So I think, let's see if he does play against Plymouth and he recreates brings another performance like that, then it's probably a very serious question that needs to be asked. But it is allowing us to potentially rest Harry Clark's Achilles for a game or two, isn't it?
Can I go on my hobby horse now? Terry, which team is best suited to win the playoffs or pure lottery? Terry, if you ever hear anyone call the playoffs a lottery, you either send them to me or you tell them, you, sir, are a buffoon. Look at the statistics. Third place wins disproportionately more than sixth place and fourth place and fifth place is fairly close. A lottery gives everyone a random chance of winning at an equal amount. The playoffs could not be less of a lottery if you bloody fix the results. They're not a lottery.
Sorry, Terry. I think you described that as hobby horse. Ben's hobby
Terry
horse.
Terry didn't say they're a lottery. He didn't. I'm just giving Terry some advice. The playoffs are not a lottery. There are how many words there in the English language? Because I reckon 7 billion of them, no, that's people on the earth, are better at describing the playoffs than lottery. Yeah. ridiculous. And people keep saying it, and I've got to stop now.
And you probably think this year, if two of those four teams that are in the playoffs have both got 92 points plus, it's even less likely to be a lottery, you would have thought.
Correct.
What? Then the lottery, it's not in the first place, Craig. I totally agree with you. There you go. Right, what have we got? Here we go, Craig. LJ, are Leicester seriously in any danger of being dragged back into this? I think 9 wins guarantees them top two.
On the results, the last two results, yes, but on the performance, I don't think so. I think that performance on Friday night was just such a great performance. I wouldn't be too concerned. You can't imagine they'll be missing quite as many open goals and one-on-ones as they will as they did that night. So it would be nice, you know. Let's see what happens next weekend if they happen to slip up again and us and Leeds manage to get 2 wins and it's down to 3 points. Then literally anything can happen from there. But it's just their performance. Whereas Southampton's performances seem to have dropped off and they looked a bit toothless second half by all accounts yesterday against Millwall. You can't really say the same about Leicester, I don't think, quite yet.
I think a fully fit Jamie Vardy scores that Dakar goal, doesn't he? Every time. It's just a trademark Vardy finish, isn't it? Buries it across the keeper in the far corner.
Last one here. Sorry, guys, if you put questions in and we didn't get round to them. I was too busy yelling at semantics. And not Terry, by the way. Terry did nothing wrong. Bad now. Louis, what teams worry you for McKenna in the summer? Actually, Dave, you can rank them in order. West Ham, Brighton and Celtic.
West Ham's the one. I must admit, for me, if we don't go up, West Ham is definitely the one for me. I mean, there's all speculation last week about Moyes. Supposedly, there's a new contract there for Moyes, but he hasn't signed it. Well, sorry, is that a bit of a smoke screen for him sort of leaving in a mutual kind of fashion? Who is the other one? Brighton, De Serbi. Well, again, yeah, the Liverpool's going to change manager, so there's going to be some sort of, you know, obviously movement, maybe downward movement there, depending on who comes in there. Celtic. Don't know. Put me right. I can't even think. It's Brendan Rodgers. Yeah, of course it is. I personally don't necessarily see. That's the first time I've sort of heard that link. But yeah, that's the sort. And another club, perhaps. You know, again, if there's a big shuffle at the top, someone like, and I can't think that he will, he's having a great season. But someone like, for instance, Unai Emery moving somewhere bigger than Villa. You know, there's another job there. So. Yeah, they're the three. Palace, well, it didn't surprise me at all. I mean, supposedly there was contact there. We'll never know. They've appointed Glasgow anyway. But, I'd say out of all those, I think West Ham has been the most publicised. And, yeah, they would that would concern me, I think.
But do you not think they'd go a little bit, you know, a little bit higher than a guy who's only finished second in League One at the
I think that's a great idea.
Because, yeah. Well,
yeah,
absolutely.
I think so.
Because Palace were, as we're led to believe, seriously sniffing around, but ended up appointing a guy who's won the Europa League.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think West Ham, perhaps, who's not in a job, Thomas Tuchel, someone like that, maybe someone of that ilk. So, yeah, let's point them in that direction, I think.
There we go. Are you guys almost boxing this off now? Because there is 5 filthy games after the next 5 games, Craig. So you've got Plymouth away, which obviously is another 3-game week as well. It's Plymouth away, Bristol City at home in the Mark Ashton Derby. Bristol City are a bit unpredictable. You know what you're going to get with Plymouth and Cardiff, don't you? But and then Sheffield Wednesday and then Blackburn. So more away games than at home. So you've got that block of 5, Craig. And then I think everyone, if we're still in it at this point, the pressure, Southampton at home, followed by Norwich away, Watford at home, then Middlesbrough may have nothing to play for. And then we start getting into the theories, Craig, of would you rather play a team in the middle with nothing to play for or a team down towards the bottom, you know, or a team going for the playoffs or what have you. Look, Coventry, Hull. So are you seeing it the way I perhaps am laying it out? You don't have to say yes, but 5 games that look friendlier on paper, even though, as Kieran McKenna says, winning any game in the Championship is hard, and we know he's not paying lip service. Are you seeing it as try and get to Southampton April the 1st? And what will that be? 30? Is that game 39? Oh my God, I'm getting nervous. I'm going to shut up because I'm getting too nervous and I've already upset Terry.
I'm going to coin a phrase here and say I'm going to take each game as it comes. and you, I don't know, you want to, associate that to me in some way. I don't know, but it seems like a decent phrase to use. Because it's, you know, cross the mind, we saw yesterday's results. Who wants to predict anything anymore? Can't. You know, I having gone to the Den a couple of weeks ago, and it was, they were a shower of shit. They were awful, absolutely awful. And yet yesterday, I found myself looking at Mill's remaining fixtures and thinking, oh, when are they going to play Leeds? And when are they going to play Southampton? They might actually trip up. Whereas before, you'd think, Christ, they're going to roll them over by about three or four goals with no problems. So, no, I'm not in the realms of predicting anything further ahead than next weekend, to be honest.
But Dave, surely this is our time now, in the words of Mark Ashton, where you've got kind of the comfortable fixtures and you know others might not have. And you know everyone's going to be looking at the fixtures and they're going to be going, oh, it looks all right for Ipswich, you know, through March. Maybe famous last words, but how are you feeling about this last block of 12?
I mean, look, it'd be great. If we get the next five... Crikey, if we can get 13, if we can have the run like we're on now and have 13 for the next five, how well would that set up for Southampton home, Norwich away, Watford and Middlesbrough? It's just a roller coaster. As Craig quite rightly said, it's so impossible to predict anything. Look, I've got the run-ins for all four teams and you're going to face of it. Who's got the hardest run-in? Leicester, but you've got to think Leicester have got those 6 points in the bag. You think they're going to have enough, but I just don't know how to call it. I think Craig's quite right in what he said. The old-fashioned cliche: take one game at a time. I think, yeah, that's all you can do.
Leeds have got an even more favourable next three or four games, haven't they?
They could break Charlton's 12-game winning streak record from the Championship, couldn't they? Guys, I've done this a few times, but. Not that our supporters need reminding of context, but there, ladies and gentlemen, as we come to the end of February, is the Championship table we've got up on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. Dave casually said earlier in the pod, well, we almost went below 2 points per game a few weeks back and we come back above. And it's absolutely ridiculous. So Leicester City, top of the pile on 78 points. Leeds United, and again, if you're struggling for context, these are both year one parachute teams, and two of them were relegated last season in the face of another two teams in the Premier League being charged with FFP infractions, which might have even doped up the teams that went down. Hence, Leicester were up for 8 years and Southampton 11 years, but there you go. So it's level on points with one of them, six behind the other. Southampton are now 5 points behind Ipswich with 12 games to play. As has been pointed out, Leicester won 9 games on the trot to the end of October. Leeds are currently on a 9-game winning streak with two of the bottom six to play, as Dave pointed out in the next games. Southampton went 22 games unbeaten. I know we don't want to get into this kind of soft Craig, whatever happens, this is amazing. But whatever happens, this is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and as we've said, just enjoy the ride. This is just a fun team to watch, isn't it? I was thinking that yesterday. I took my little girl yesterday because my boy Oscar was away, so I used his ticket, my little girl, and she has no interest whatsoever in us. She'd only been to a previous Mick McCarthy 0-0 against Rotherham before, bless her, but she's now asking to come along because it's a fun team to watch. It's a fun experience. The ground's rocking, so yeah, let's just take it for what it is. Enjoy the ride and... was it 12 games? So using Joe's calculator, that's 36 guaranteed points between now.
108.
The first weekend of May.
Third, yeah.
I think it's just, do you know what? I think it's just the whole resilience of the team, isn't it? Do you know, I mean, leading out the things that West Brom game, where we like in the previous five or eight games, we were like, was it 17th or even might have been 18th in the form
table. One winning nine, was it, Dave, in the EFL?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And now we're back to what equals second or third. I think it goes perhaps Leeds, Preston are certainly on a good. I think Leeds,
four
Preston,
ourselves, yeah.
Something like that. It's just that the whole resilience and it's not a real word, but bounce back ability. It's just fantastic, isn't it? Every time you think that, oh yeah, you know, this is a game too far. You know, we managed to pull something out, and off we go again on another run. It's just. yeah, just enjoy it. And I think just to go back to yesterday, and I've seen it mentioned in the pod, someone Amari Hutchinson again, just enjoy watching someone like that. He's got to be probably, if we get up, arguably he's going to have such a influence on that between now and the end of the season that he just might be the greatest loan signing ever for us.
Unbelievable. So we've said it over and over again, amazing run that continues, and we expect it to regress to the mean, and it never does, and it never does. And here we are coming into March with favourable fixtures. Will I be sitting here on the Blue Monday podcast at the start of April and we still haven't gone away? Will I be sitting here at the end of April and we still haven't gone away? Craig, I need to go and take a cold shower. Last word from you.
Yes, as I said, just enjoy the ride, people. And as Ben says, if we get to the beginning of April and the end of April, those remaining games, it'll just be a lottery, won't it?
Dave?
Can I just say, just aside from Ipswich, just very quickly, quick mention, one of the greats, one of the great talents, Stan Bowles, passed away sadly yesterday. Absolutely. Saw him many a time at Portman Road. Absolutely fantastic player. So rest in peace, Stan. Another one of those football mavericks from the 70s and a proper, proper character.
And thank you, everybody, for watching the Blue Monday podcast. We will see you thrice next week with the predictions, the Plymouth preview and the Plymouth post-match flagship show. We're not going anywhere, are we? And the playoffs aren't a lottery.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.